taking bets on how long it's going to take her to
start
recording.
Well, now, Lee, I just didn't want you to explain too much and to go back and repeat it all for the record.
Okay.
Since I'm moderator, I will happily turn the floor over to Lee so you can do your SurveyMonkey thing.
Okay. So basically what I just sent by email, so check your email, is five files. The first one is apparently just a summary file that SurveyMonkey puts together of the results of the survey, which is very nice and pretty, and it's an Excel file, so you can open that. So they give me a choice of a summary file, which I think just basically gives me the percentages of who answered what. Then the next five files are from an expanded option that SurveyMonkey gave me. So we have basically repeats of files here. Two of them are Excel, two of them are just comma delimited. So the first two are the same as the second two.
Hey, this is Felicity. Sorry, I'm not at a computer. Did you use the individual download or whatever they call it for the second set of files?
Let me see. Let me go back. It said download responses, and it gave me choose type of download, either a summary report or all responses collected. So the second four come from an all responses collected. Download
perfect.
The entire response set of your survey for importing into a spreadsheet or database.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay. Okay.
By the way, this is Holly Lynn. I just logged in.
Yep. Okay.
Hi, Holly Lynn.
Hello.
I'm not sure what the condensed list files is for. It's just part of what it sent me when I downloaded all this. As far as I can tell, that is useless. What is actually useful is sheet one, which appears, if you open that up into an Excel file or CSV or whatever you like as your spreadsheet, it appears to give us literally all of the information for each respondent, literally how they responded for every single question, which I think is what we were looking for. But I could be wrong. In fact, it may be too much information. They were even giving us the IP address of where, you know, for trying to...
And that was a little scary to me.
Yeah.
About the summary file, the first file?
The summary file is SurveyMonkey doing summaries for us.
But if you look at the tab that's labeled question 3...
Okay, hold on.
That summarizes how many fell under each category for us for each question.
But I think one of the things that we were also worried about is could we, you know, decipher things based upon universities. Like, that doesn't have, you know, the breakdown at, you know, NKUs, they said this kind of thing.
Yeah.
So isn't that why we would want more of that sheet one kind of one, so we could then sort by university or male, female, or something like that?
Do we need that for this first survey, or do we need that for the second one that we're doing?
I don't know if we necessarily have to have it for this one, but I don't think it would be a bad thing in case we do find some of our questions differ on, you know, something on one of those aspects. I don't know, especially our, you know, our male-female questions. I don't know.
Actually,
if we need
I think Tara brings up an interesting point, although I'm not sure it's necessarily what she intended, but if we find that our students have vastly different opinions, are we somewhere down the road going to give them different studies to look at?
If they're different at the different schools?
Yeah. So for an extreme example, you know, my students strongly disagree that Coke is better, but they care less about politics, whereas someone else's students really follow politics and can care less about Coke versus Pepsi. So do we give them separate examples, or do we give them both and the role of the neutral and the opinionated swap?
I
haven't thought that far ahead. I think that might be a reason why knowing college at this point could be useful. It would at least give us that opportunity down the road, whether or not we decide to take it.
I'm sorry.
Well, this is Holly Lynn. I mean, it sounds like what it might also be a check for is to not pick questions that you give at each of the different schools where you've got various, you know, very distinct opinions, so that you're doing a check to make sure that the context that you use, that there's not some kind of major difference between being able to tell what university somebody is at, as far as being able to predict that kind of opinion.
Well, I was going to say, I can probably tell you that, I don't know, if did we leave the religion questions in?
Yes.
I can tell you
probably. We took out the abortion question.
Yeah, we took out the two religion questions will probably be a little bit, the responses will be a little bit different at my school than they will be at your school, simply because this is a religious-based school. The students that go here tend to view religion a little bit more importantly than, I'm guessing, the students at all of your institutions, because it's a Lutheran-based university, and I know all of my students are part of Christian faith groups and that sort of thing. So I think it's something we'll have to look at once we see the results. I do think knowing now, you know, what the split is by school will be helpful.
I agree. I tend to think that we wouldn't want to have something that's different by school just because we'd be decreasing our sample size or which direction they believe in.
Yeah. But we won't really know that until we throw this out there.
But that's why we have lots of questions so we can test them.
Okay. So do we like SurveyMonkey better in that? I mean, I don't remember how much analysis we got from Herla's.
I think you've got everything in a spreadsheet. I'm not sure I saved that spreadsheet, but I could probably open it. The one thing I am noticing here, which from a data entry point of view I find exceedingly annoying, is that it's not putting all of the responses in a single column.
Yes. I have worked with SurveyMonkey before, and that is extremely annoying.
It's also
there should be some sort of sub-option to get it in the same column, but it doesn't.
Is it different?
I'd have to play around with it.
Here, let me look at, hold on.
It also didn't fill in if we didn't choose neutral, strongly disagree, or strongly agree. Like for the marijuana question, I didn't pick one of the ones that we had words under, and there's nothing there for my response.
Oh.
Yeah, I noticed that too. Like the twos and threes, those intermediate categories.
Right.
Oh,
I noticed that too. Yeah, I couldn't even find my Pepsi response, to be perfectly honest.
Huh. Well, that's odd.
I was like, I swear I answered that question because I had a very strong opinion.
So I wonder why that is.
When I've used it in the past, there was something about downloading it as numeric responses or text responses, and the numeric were things that SurveyMonkey had assigned just in value order based on the order that you entered the answer options. And it might be that if you choose to download the text responses,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but it didn't give me a choice of actual choice text or numerical values. So let me try.
Yeah, and I usually found the actual choice text easier to work with because you didn't have to worry about, am I using the right thing that it thought it was? But if it's just not giving you anything, that's awful. Yeah. I haven't used it in a while, so I can't.
I'm going to try and download it. It takes a minute, but let me try and download it with the numerical values and see if we get anything different. So we'll come back to that as soon as that downloads. It seems to take a while. Anyway, because, yeah, that would be a huge problem if it's not going to give us the in-between values.
Yeah. And I'm looking at the Excel spreadsheet from the NCSU Survey Builder, and that will at least put everything in the same column. But the one thing I forgot to do in that survey is include those intermediate choices, so I don't know how it handles those. I do remember having difficulty labeling it. Like, it did weird things when you just tried to leave it as a numeric label without putting a word over it. So I do remember setting up the scale was difficult, unless we just did numbers and left the labels off completely. Then we describe to them what the labels are, but we all know no one reads instructions, and so we run risks that people are answering these things exactly backwards.
Yeah.
So I don't know how to handle that. I I think one thing I could have done was, like, I could put, like, a 1 and then type the label either before or after it. So it didn't look pretty because it didn't line up nicely, but then you would have both the numbers, like, all of the numbers and the labels on the relevant parts of the axis.
Okay, so this is annoying. So in the second spreadsheet, which I can send around if you want me to, yes, we have all the numeric responses, but things like the college and gender, wait a minute, what is your college? They give me 3, 2, 4, and 1.
So we'd need to figure those out. And that.
So we'd have to recode those back to what's 3, what's 2, what's 4, what's 1.
This is the order that they were in the question.
Yeah, so that would be the only annoying thing about doing that. But now I have all of the responses for all the numeric responses for all the different survey questions.
And is everything listed in one column, or is it still
yes.
the multiple columns?
Yes, college and university is now one column. Gender is now one column, all twos. I can send it around if that would. We'll save this as file as.
The gender is all twos? How weird.
Well, because we're all female.
Well, I thought maybe like they were doing like an alphabetical order or something, but.
I think I made male first, female second.
So between the two, well, we can figure it out because it is the order that they're in, but I'm also seeing you can map the numbers to the column it puts the data in. So like the 3, 2, 4, 1, it's the college and university, the information's entered in the third column, second column, fourth column, first column. So between the two data sets, we'll know exactly what their SurveyMonkey's coding is, but we'll have, with the numeric data, then we'll have the nicely formatted data set.
Okay. Just got sent, so check your email.
Yeah, that one looks easier to deal with, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, so too.
Okay, someone has a bird chirping in the background.
That would be me, so. You can tell I'm not in the office today.
That's funny.
But I think SurveyMonkey would work for us.
Okay. Now, the only thing that is a little weird, and I don't know if this would be a problem for anyone in terms of privacy issues, now, everything's anonymous because they're generating numbers and everything, but the account that Capital has, it's basically a Capital account, and so it's not like my personal account, and so anyone at Capital can log into the Capital account, create a survey, can view the results, and so there's just sort of a general understanding on campus that, you know, you don't mess with anyone else's survey, but technically anyone on Capital's campus who knows the username and password could log into our survey, look at what we're doing, download the results, et cetera. So in terms of IRB and privacy issues, I don't know if that would be an issue for anybody. Obviously, it wouldn't be a problem here on campus because I'm here. But for other people, I don't know if that would be an issue.
That's an interesting point. I think we need to be upfront with the IRB about that, but also say that the data are anonymous as collected, so that even if someone else did go into the survey, they wouldn't be compromising a student, and certainly we're not actually collecting anything sensitive.
Yeah.
And couldn't we, I mean, once we have the Excel spreadsheets, you could delete the survey, right?
Yeah, yeah, certainly. So it's just, while it's going on, you know,
yeah.
Anyone on Capital's campus who has the password can technically log in and look at what we're doing.
Yeah, I think that the answer is to, in the IRB, talk about that you'll be using SurveyMonkey and that, you know, how data is stored in there, and that after, you know, that as soon as data collection is complete, that the survey itself wouldn't be deleted because you'd want to save that to use, you know, for other times, but the data would be downloaded and then deleted and not stored, you know, at SurveyMonkey.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here's a really silly question. How many weeks do you all have left in your semester?
Not many. I think four for me.
Oh, so you got, okay, so you have four.
I have about three of actual classes and then finals.
Okay. That's what I have.
Okay. I think that's what I have, too, is three of classes and then a final.
Okay. So I have, like, two and a half. So.
You've hit the sun soon, is what you're saying.
Yeah, no, I've, like, got about half the IRB done, and I know the guy who's the IRB person, but he's, I don't know. I'm on a committee with him. I don't know if this is going to go smoothly or not, but I just, you know, and it, obviously it falls under expedited, I can't even say the word.
Expedited,
thank you. Expedited review, but I'm just, I don't know, I'm just worried. I don't know if he's going to be really, really picky, and because I talked to him yesterday, and I don't know. I'm not sure he got what I was asking or what I was trying to explain to him.
So I think with mine, that I feel I'm going to be exempt.
Yeah. Well, you should see the list of
things I've done. So
the list of questions I have to ask or have to answer is just ridiculous. And you know, and I finally got to the point where it's like, well, I just need to go talk to this guy and tell him what we're trying to do, and you know, can I not answer a shorter list of questions? Because I mean, the questions are obviously designed for a much more extensive project. I mean, we're literally just trying to ask a survey, and but no, he's like, no, this is part of a pilot study for a, you know, much larger project, blah, 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 and I'm like, okay. He's like, you need to fill out the IRB, and I need to review it. I'm like, okay. So anyway.
Yeah, I think that was kind of the approach they took at Michigan. It's more like you were exempt from continuing review rather than you were exempt from filling out the application in the first place.
Like, I still had to fill out the application.
Yeah, you fill out the whole thing in all of its glory, and then they decide that it's exempt, and then the paperwork gets easier.
Yeah.
All right, so does anyone have any questions or anything like that on the survey instrument? It looks like SurveyMonkey will be a good thing to go with. We'll all just have to clear the fact that it's at Capital Computers, each of our IRBs.
Is everyone else getting that weird feedback?
I am, yes.
I am, too.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
It's not just me.
Okay. I already submitted my papers and got permission. Do I have to resubmit with this description, do you think?
How did you describe how the data was going to be collected and stored?
I said we were either using NC States or we were using the SurveyMonkey, and that was all I said.
That
remember, I don't have
in a... mind an email of kind of saying I know a little bit more now about my data collection and see if I need to. It's like, did you get an approval number or anything like that? I know because yours was a little bit different.
I wrote my own forms since we don't have formal forms, and he just signed the form that I created myself.
Then I wouldn't worry about it. You I mean, you did say that you would be possibly using SurveyMonkey, and so I think that's the level of disclosure you need.
Okay.
Because I think it's kind of understood, you know, how I mean, if they wanted to know how data was stored in SurveyMonkey, they could easily find out. And they didn't ask you, so.
Don't ask, don't tell.
Exactly.
For mine, I just said that it was going to be collected online, so hopefully they realize that, you know, that means data is stored out on a computer somewhere.
Right.
I would assume.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, if they don't
have
a specific form,
I'll ask. But.
Right. I mean, if they don't have a specific, I mean, I know NC States, they ask you specifically how data is going to be stored and who has access to the data and that kind of stuff, so. You know, we have to answer those kinds of questions explicitly.
Yeah, I'm wrestling with those questions right now.
I was going to say, does anybody else have to deal, I guess Jackie and Terry, you probably don't have to deal with the whole informed consent issue, because there was a section in the IRB as I was going through it, they were talking about informed consent, and I know that's...
I had that part I had to fill out. What did I say?
What are you going to do with that? Because it
well,
seems a little
when I read my form, it almost seemed like for us, I mean, in my email that I'm going to send my students, it's going to kind of tell them, you know, I basically, you know, participating in this study, you're giving your consent to use your data kind of thing?
Okay.
That's what it sounded like I needed to do.
I have to get them to sign slips saying that it's okay for me to use the information that they fill out in a paper or in a presentation.
Okay. So you are doing a lickable form.
Yeah, I have to. He is they're required.
Okay.
Mine doesn't need a form.
Okay.
Because instead of my data is basically going to be anonymously collected, that they're filling it out is like their informed consent.
Yeah. Yeah, and sometimes what you can do, I had a student do this for her dissertation. She was using SurveyMonkey actually to collect this, and she was collecting data from students at a bunch of different universities, and they were completing this online survey, and the very first page was them being notified of their rights, and by clicking to continue, they were agreeing to participate in the study.
Oh, okay. Since I'm the capital representative here, am I going to be the one putting the survey together on SurveyMonkey?
Yeah, I think you could have a cover page that just basically describes, you know, a very short thing of what the survey is about and the purpose of it, and that by clicking to continue to take the survey, they are agreeing for the data to be used for research purposes.
Okay, I can do that if you all want me to do that. That would make your lives easier.
And is it like a way to also have like a confirmation page that they can print out?
Yeah, that was going to be my other question, is how are you all confirming, like for bonus points or something, if you're doing bonus points, how are you confirming that they are doing this?
That was my hope, is that we had a confirmation page.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was hoping to. I'm asking them to print out a time-stamped confirmation page and then just show it to their instructor.
Okay, so I have to, because I don't think SurveyMonkey normally has a confirmation page, so I'm going to have to create a confirmation page.
Right, but I think that's one of the benefits of doing the paid account is you have that as an option. You don't even have that as an option in a free SurveyMonkey account.
Right.
So just say something. I would even say, you know, thank you for completing the survey. Be sure to print out this page and show it to your instructor.
In, like, large flashing letters.
Yeah.
If you would like your... Okay. So I need a survey page.
Do we need to agree on a number of extra credit points, or does it matter? Like, is that going to be somewhere in the survey that we need to worry about, or can we each assign the ones we feel are appropriate?
I don't think it needs to be in the survey, but for the methods, it might be important to have it be at least in the same range, and it would be great to have it be done in roughly the same manner.
I think I'm doing 5 points for mine.
That was what I was thinking. So,
well, because mine was going to be on their final exam, so I wasn't having it be worth as much.
I don't know. I think that it can be left up to the instructor on how you're doing it. Because it's basically what you write in your IRB as far as incentive to gain participants. You know, incentives that you're trying to use to gain the participants. And I don't know.
So
I don't
nowhere are we going to want to, like, so nowhere on the survey is it going to say how much? I think it was originally possibly in it.
It is in there right now.
Yeah.
So either we're
going to
want to remove that then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't going to, I mean, when I put this in,
okay.
I wasn't going to put any number of points. I figured I honestly thought it was going to be left up to each one of us as to how we were going to deal with.
Okay, just making sure I didn't want to, you know, be obligated and find out as a 5 I have to give you. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I think it is good to be consistent that all students are offered some type of bonus point incentive, but not to specify how it's done.
Okay.
Yeah. I think what I'm going to do is I'll be sending, once I get the link from Lee, I'll be sending my students an email inviting them to participate, and that's where I'll tell them how much they're getting. I also have to, one of the stipulations of my IRB is that since there's extra credit points attached, I have to offer them an alternate assignment if they don't want to participate in the survey.
Oh.
So what I'm going to do, and that has to require about as much effort as I expect the survey to require. So what I'm going to have them do is look for an example of statistics in the media and identify some characteristics, like identify who are the subjects, what's the treatment, and those types of things.
Why don't you use, I mean, I don't know how many will actually take you up on this, but why don't you ask them to find something that you know, something in the media that has to do with report of sampling techniques that were used and decisions that were made or something like that, something that you guys might potentially use in your study.
Have them do a lit search for us?
Yeah. I mean, if I was a student, I think I'd probably take the survey.
Yeah. Yeah, we're trying to make the alternate assignment sound ominous, even though it's not really going to be. We're trying to make it sound ominous in the email.
Right.
As long as the IRB doesn't complain about that.
Right. Well, and then they always have the option of, well, you know, I don't really need or want extra credit, so I'm not doing either.
Yeah. So I think we're all reasonably on the same page at this point. The survey will have a cover sheet that will specify they're getting extra credit but won't say how many points specifically. It'll have a confirmation sheet that reminds students to print it out and give it to their instructors. And Lee, on the confirmation sheet, can you specify some length of time they have to turn it in by? Something like within, I'm trying to think of something that would be generic for everyone. Say something like within the next, by the next class period or within the next 3 days, something like that, so that it's not them trying to turn it in.
I was going to say, just as long as everybody comes to an agreement on that, I will put in whatever you would like me to put in.
Well, you know what? I mean, some of these students may actually take the survey at a place where they don't have access to a printer.
Hmm.
Well, they could print off a PDF and then email it.
Yeah.
You can always.
Yeah, but are all of them going to be that computer savvy?
Well, they should be.
Well, that's why I think it's nice to have, you know, the email that says you will be asked to print this off. So if they're not at the right place.
Oh, that's true. You can say it in the email, but I didn't think about that.
We can even have it on, you know, on the front page, you know. You are going to have to be able to print something out at the end to get your bonus points.
Right. Either print or save it as a PDF so that you can print it later.
Yeah. So, I mean, as long as you guys are willing to accept, you know, I mean, some of them may just email you, you know, the PDF, as long as you're willing to accept that.
Would it be easier to get, like, a date cut off, Herla, like, in, like, May 1st or something like that, that we all want to make sure we have them by?
That would be fine. I was just thinking, since we're probably going to submit it in various times, but if we pick some, that a date might not work, but if we pick something far enough out, we should be okay. My classes will be done by May 1st, but I won't have grades turned in yet, so that could be a good one for me.
Yeah, May 1st is when my finals start. I'm fine as long as I get them by their final. I think my finals are either May 1st or May 3rd for my stat classes.
Let's see, what is that last Friday, like April 30th? Would that be a date that all of us would feel good about getting them by? Because I don't want to make the date on a weekend because that will just seem weird.
Yeah.
Because I won't be here. Because what are we hoping to have this up and running?
Saturday.
Like,
so, yeah, April 30th is fine by me.
And how long do we think it's going to take to get the survey up and running?
Well, this is not a good week for me, but I will, I mean, I know we're running up against deadlines here, so I'm actually, like, trying to type the front page right now while I'm talking to you guys. I want to try and, if I can try and get it up in the next couple of days, I'd like you guys to take a look at it, obviously, before it gets sent out. Make sure if there's anything that you don't like about the front page or the back page, you know, you can give me feedback on that. Maybe if we can get this thing up and running by the end of this week. I mean,
technically we have to wait for our IRB approval before we can.
Well, yeah, I mean, once IRB approval, but I'm saying just to have it actually up,
yeah,
running and ready to go so that once IRB approval comes through for everybody, it'll be live so you can just go.
Go.
Yeah. So I just like to have it done and ready to go.
Okay.
That's a good point.
And actually, I think it'll end up being probably the same link, because actually I'm just editing what I already had put together, but I don't have to delete out the four responses from you guys. Okay. But anyway, I'll get it working. Really. So yeah, in the next couple of days I'll send you what will hopefully be the rough draft of the final version, and you can edit if you don't like what's on the front page or whatever. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Or is that good?
Good.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments or concerns about the survey? Going once, going twice. All right, should we turn our attention to our JSM abstract for a few minutes?
If we must.
I don't remember where the JSM, I actually am pulling up the Google Groups page.
Oh, sorry, that is my last question. We are the what's on Google Groups, the Google Doc, that is the final version of the survey, right? We have no more edits.
Right, but remember Holly Lynn suggested coming up with a random order for the questions?
Oh, okay. Well, I think actually, I don't know if it matters to anybody, but I think SurveyMonkey does allow me to, like, check, give the questions in random order to students, if that helps. So each student will get the questions in a random order.
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
I think that'll work. I don't know what other people think.
Yes? Okay.
Yeah, I think that will work. I think the main thing is just so that there's not some type of predictable pattern of, you know, answering this will change my judgment on a future one.
Yeah. Okay.
So does anyone remember which page our JSM, abstract draft? For some reason I could never find that page. It's the first one on Google Groups. When was the last time anyone looked at the JSM abstract?
Sorry.
Right before we submitted it.
I actually think I was the original writer on it, and then everybody worked on editing it. So.
Yes, we do. I see there's four versions of it, the original, and then three different updates. I do remember I think it needs to be less than 900 characters, and we currently stand at 899. So we have to decide if we will be able to update this. Does everybody have the Google Groups page up so they can see what our abstract was?
Yes.
My recollection is I submitted this, and I'm 99% positive that I just copied and pasted update 3 in as the submission. I can't imagine why I would have done anything else. I'm never 100% positive of anything these days, but I'm going to go with pretty near certain here. So we are talking a lot about examples. It is definitely more of a sampling focus as opposed to a contextual focus here.
Hey, guys, I'm sorry to interrupt. It looks like the Tylenol just wore off, so I'm going to have to take off.
Sorry.
That's okay. Good luck. Sounds like it's really going good.
Thanks. Good luck to you, too.
Bye.
Bye. I don't know. Here's what I'm going to do. In an attempt to make this easy, I don't know if it will actually or not, I am taking the JSM abstract and copying it and pasting it onto our Google Documents page where we have our survey questions. So I'm assuming since you all have access to the survey page, you'll all have access to the JSM abstract then. And that way we can go ahead and edit this so that everyone can see what the changes are. Does that sound reasonable?
Okay. Hold on.
Everyone's still there?
Yeah. No, we're still here. I'm sorry. I was getting rid of something and then, okay, wait, docs.google, okay.
That's fine.
All right. Oh, there we are. JSM abstract, intro script.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yay, there we are.
So I just put it at the top of the page to make it easy to find.
Oh, wow, this is, like, not at all what we're doing.
Yes. It has changed quite a bit.
Oh, crap. Okay.
So I do remember we have, there was a study by Jennifer Kaplan I think it was a 2009 study by Jennifer Kaplan that talked about this belief bias thing. So we still can base this off of some literature, which was kind of the general approach we took here. So we could just say previous studies have explored, how do we want to say this? Or maybe we just scrap this and start with something completely different.
This isn't even close to what we're doing now. How students' prior beliefs might affect their statistical judgment of results from a sample. That's like the only part that...
Yes.
Okay, so like scrap everything else. Well, okay, maybe the last sentence we can keep.
While we're doing that, I can't seem to find the document. I mean, I found our other document.
Oh, here, I'll forward you the email.
Okay, I'm just like, I can't find it.
It should be a part of the...
I just have a giant folder of research cluster stuff.
Yeah. The part that I'm changing, like I'm editing the Google Docs, the research cluster survey question. You got it now?
I just thought it'd be a separate thing, so I was confused.
No, I figured just for the sake of today, for something kind of quick and easy, I just put it on the survey questions page, at the top of the page.
All right, I'm there now.
Okay. Tara, do you have it?
Yep.
Randy and Hollyland, you guys have access to this page too, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I need to go there. I'm not there right now.
Figure it out, yeah. Okay. All right, so the last sentence. I would still edit it. That's not a bad place to start. This research builds on, I'm starting a new paragraph now, which I guess I will call new version. This research builds on existing studies to explore. I really think we just want, excuse me, just want the last part. How students' prior beliefs might affect their statistical judgment of results from a sample. And then, particularly if they're able to assess the quality of the sampling methods.
So weren't you guys coming up with, I mean, a couple phone calls ago, didn't you guys come up with a revised goal statement?
Yes, we did. I'll go to Google Groups and grab that.
Is it, planning to revise contextual strand?
That's what I'm thinking it is.
How do students' personal experiences with and beliefs about the contextual matter of a problem impact their ability to determine if a sample can be generalized to a larger population?
Yeah, I see the modified goal and then the two sub-goals.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to just put these in there with some kind of wrapper saying that this research is going to be attempting to answer these questions?
I'm sorry, say that again.
So when we worked on our revised goal, we came up with a main goal and then we came up with sub-goals. I see this as three research questions we are trying to answer. So I'm wondering if our abstract simply says that way, like this research What about just even say this research explores? I'm starting to edit in Google Docs now again. This research explores how students' prior beliefs might affect their statistical judgments from the results of a sample. And then say something like specifically three research questions will be addressed. Well, I don't know if that's all three of them by JSM, but basically I'm thinking we don't have to write much new. We just put these research questions in there and give it kind of a nice intro sentence for the abstract. Does that make any more sense?
If we want to include anything about the literature, we have kind of a summary under the talking points for the January 18th call that you wrote.
Yeah.
If we want to include any of that. You have a nice summary of the Kaplan study. You have an example from the Watson study in there.
Right. I'm going to that page. Tara, what page was this again?
It's for the January 18th conference call.
Got it. Thank you. And then we have to keep in mind, and all of this is our character limit.
Why don't we keep the first line and do something like research has shown that context may interfere with students' ability to focus on the statistical aspects of a problem. Put the two references in parentheses or something like that, and then say the last sentence, as educators, we believe that's important, but at one point it's become a distraction, and then discuss the specific questions we're addressing.
Okay.
So kind of the first sentence, the last sentence, first.
I'm going to type what I think you just said, although I'm already starting to read it. So you can edit it. I'm in Google Docs still. What was the Watson was 2002, right? I think. And it's not just Watson. Does anyone remember what her...
Is it the same one that's above? That's a Watson and Moritz 2000?
Yes, it is. Thank you. And I'm pretty sure Kaplan says 2009, I think that was a recent JLC. Firefox just crashed. Anyone else have my edits that I was just working on?
It saved up through where you did the parenthesis with the Watson. It didn't save anything after that.
All right, so I think I just fixed that now. know we're going to have to edit this for length. I don't know if it tells you how long things are here.
Let's see, tools has a word count. Let's see if I can find anything else.
All right, word count, characters with spaces. What I did is actually just the first few sentences. I didn't put in the actual research questions, and that's only 546 characters with spaces. So we can include some modified version of our actual research questions.
Do we just want to put the main one that is the main goal, or do you want to add the sub-goals too? So kind of seems like if you're reading that, just that first question, it almost seems like it sort of encapsulates the other two a little bit without going too specific, and since it's an abstract.
Yeah, that's fine. I need a synonym for explore, investigate. All right, so now checking the word count of the first paragraph that I have. I'm at 761. Now, I mean, we could just leave it like that. We don't have to go all the way to 900. What do people think of that first paragraph there under the heading New Version?
Are you in the abstract draft page?
I'm actually on the Google Docs page.
The Google Docs page.
That way I figured people can see my editing more in real time. And people could also jump in and edit as they feel necessary.
When you do education papers, do you do first tense, or do you write as we? In engineering, we never do that. So is that appropriate for an education research paper?
Yeah, I think you can. It depends on the – I mean, different journals have different stylistic issues.
Okay.
But I think it is appropriate.
We could just change it to educators believe.
Do all educators believe?
No, we're not, but. We could also connect it to gaze here. I mean, that is one of the gaze recommendations, although I don't want to appear like we're attacking gaze, because I don't think that's a wise move, but.
How about previous research has shown that while interesting and relevant context is important when teaching statistics, it may also interfere with students' ability to judge sampling methods or research results. So kind of combine those first two sentences. Because the research has shown that you should use it, but it also has shown that it may interfere.
Yeah.
As a warning, as we're editing, as I'm the organizer, I do have to leave here by about 5:15.
Okay.
And I don't know if when I hang up with that automatically will stop the recording or how that works.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, if you hang up, it will stop the recording.
There's
and we
a
will
way,
all be cut off.
There's a way not to, though. After my cell phone cut out that one time, I looked at the sheet that Jean sent us, there's a way that people can continue going. I don't remember how to do it. But there
well,
was
I have to take off, too, because I have to go home.
Yeah.
No, I actually have to go home. We have to be somewhere tonight. And I have in-laws coming in. Just don't ask.
All right. We are well under the word limit. Now, what do you guys think of that first paragraph? And the other thing we can opt to do, too, is rather than editing it on the phone together, is we can just say, we'll take a look at this until, say, Friday, and if there's whatever is up here on Friday will be resubmitted or something like that. I mean, we have some time, right? It's until
the 19th.
It is until the 19th. So this Friday is the 16th. That would be fine.
That sounds fine to me, and actually, if you wouldn't mind emailing it, because I'm kind of clicking all over the place on Google Groups, and I can't seem to find the draft.
I can't seem to find where you guys are either.
I mean, that's because we switched to Google Docs. I'm sorry. I will email you both the paragraph that we're working on and...
yeah, I thought I had it, but then when I started
the
it was a different one.
Yeah. I'm glad I'm not the only one who felt lost. I'm like, all right,
I'm sorry.
All
the joys of modern technology. There's much more space to get lost in. I'm sorry about that. Yes, I will send this through. What I'm going to do, too, is I'm just going to put, like, approved by, and then we can just each add our names to this. And that way we'll know. And I'll go ahead, since I submitted the first one, I will go ahead on Friday afternoon sometime. I will look at this and submit whatever is here. And if there's someone who hasn't said that they've approved it, I will harass that person for Friday afternoon. So try and have your versions up here by Friday at 12. And I'll go with what we have there. How does that sound to everyone?
Works for me.
Yep, that sounds good.
I was going to say, extrapolating from that opinion, we're all set. All right, yeah. And any, like, if you want to play with my grammar or sentencing, I'm open to that, too, to make things read a little more easily. So, all right, anything else we need to address then before we get off the phone? Like, do we need to set a new time for our next call?
Probably would be a good idea.
Yeah. So far, since the end of the semester is coming up, by the time we speak next, we should have administered our surveys, right?
More than likely.
So then for the next call, we could be actually looking at survey results.
I have actually a quick question because I was helping with the thing, but I'm also looking at the survey thing. I have another question. There's an option in the survey to force students to answer the questions so that they can't just log on, look at the questions, and then skip to the confirmation page. Is it okay to do that, or is it not okay to do that?
We want them to answer the questions.
Basically, do we want to allow them to basically look at the questions and then skip over it to the confirmation page? There's an option in SurveyMonkey to, like, force them to click something.
Yeah.
Do we want to do that, or is that not allowed? Because I guess I'm just worried about them, you know, logging on, looking at it, skipping over it, and printing out the confirmation page to get their bonus points. And I guess maybe that's actually a question maybe for Holly Lynn or Felicity, who's not here anymore.
So you're asking whether or not you can require a response to a question.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you can indicate that they that they have to answer all the questions in order to continue on with the survey.
Okay, should we do that for all of them? Because we've got, what's your college or university? That's, I guess, gender is the one that I'm, I know that may sound strange, but.
I think you could. Yeah, you can leave that. I mean, but I think for the actual Likert scale questions,
yeah,
you should require a response.
Okay, so maybe just that one.
One of the options is no opinion.
Yeah, for that one, there's no opinion. But so should we do a forced answer on the college or university too?
I would think so.
Okay, so what about gender? Because I can do it for each one. I can either force an answer or not.
Especially for the pilot study, it's not as important. I think we would possibly need it more later. But we're actually going to, you know, want to make sure if we know this person's male or female, how they feel about it. But if all we're trying to do is figure out if they feel right now.
I guess I'm just worried about any IRB issues or, you know.
So I think it would be okay to leave it off this particular study then.
Okay. So I'll take it off that one. Okay. Sorry, just wanted, while I got you on the phone, just to ask you that. All right, thank you.
Hurl, I put up a paragraph right below yours. It's slightly longer. It's just about the 900-word mark.
Okay. That looks good. I'll read it now.
Okay.
So when are you all done for the semester? Like actually done with finals and everything?
I finished grading on Saturday, May 8th, and then I'm done.
About the same for me.
And then I will be out of town, actually, the week of May, like starting May 19th until probably the 24th. So I'll either need to meet, like we should have a conference call sometime the week of the 10th or sometime the week of the 24th for me, unless it's early the week of the 17th.
I will also be out of town from the 20th through the 24th. My finals week is the 10th through the 13th.
Okay, so you probably don't want to talk during that week. Should we set something up for the week of the 24th then? Or do we do before classes or before grading stuff? I could probably do something the week of the 3rd. My final's at night, so, and grading's on a Saturday, so I could do something the week of the 3rd. I don't know how other people feel about that.
I would actually rather do the 10th through the 13th because the 3rd is our last week of classes, and I am taking a class this semester, and I have my own final on the 7th.
Okay.
So I'd rather study for my own final that week.
That's fine. Any other conflicts with the week of the 10th through the 13th?
Nope, I'm actually good.
Or does anyone want to do, like, the 17th, 18th, or 19th?
I'm also good for them.
All right, preferences.
Oh, my back's killing me. Sorry.
See, on the 10th, I have my pre-admission visit for the hospital from about basically mid-morning to mid-afternoon.
Right.
I have scheduled.
I I'm totally open that week. So, I mean, in terms of appointments at this point, I'm totally open. So I have zero preference. Should we just say Tuesday 4, or what are some other times we've done that have tended to work for people? We've kind of stuck with Tuesdays, Thursdays. Have we done earlier on Thursday afternoon?
By then, I am completely open. So I was one of the people, I think, that preferred Tuesday, Thursday, but by then I'm...
Okay.
My finals are all between 8 and 1, so that week I can do anything
after
starting 1. At 1 o'clock.
Okay.
I think we have our divisional retreat one of those days, but apparently I didn't write it on my calendar, so I don't know when it is. It's probably the 14th.
Should we set it tentatively for, I don't know, Tuesday the 11th at 2 p.m.?
I'm sorry, say that again. Tuesday the 11th at?
At 2 p.m., I think.
Oh, that will, I don't know if it matters, but it'll conflict with the teaching and learning webinar.
Oh, no, we don't want to do that because you're a part of.
Well, I mean, that's Jackie's webinar. But I don't know in terms of, because we only have the two accounts.
All right,
I don't know.
Monday or Wednesday, what do people think?
Obviously, for me, Wednesday would work better.
Okay.
Wednesday's fine.
Wednesday at 2, or Tara, would you prefer 3?
2 is fine.
Okay.
I have two finals that day, but they're both over by 12:30. So.
Okay.
It will be a good break from grading.
So Wednesday, May 12th at 2 p.m. Any objections?
Nope.
Can the RAB members make it then?
The 12th, yes, I should be able to. I think we're in exams that week, but 2 o'clock should be fine for me.
On the 12th, what time is it again?
2 o'clock.
I said 2, but I think any time after 1 was okay.
Yeah. Wednesdays are I'm on leave this semester. Wednesdays, every other Wednesday is when I go into school to meet with my students and stuff like that. So as of right now, I've got a meeting set from 10 to 12, but my afternoons usually get booked with students. So I can't, if I don't have anything at 2 o'clock, I can certainly step into my office, but I've got to give them preference in having access to me. But if Randy can be there, I think that will be fine.
All right. Well, we'll set it like this for now. We'll see what Felicity has to say, too, and... I think we're flexible, so if someone wants to send an email in the next, like, week or so and say, well, this day's really not going to work, we can shift it.
Okay. I just sent out an email with the new and improved survey. It's the same link, actually, but I just cleaned it up. I deleted out our responses. So when you get a chance, look at it. It's got the front page and the end page. I might have to change the middle thing to why it's called default section. I should probably change the name of that. But other than that, anything you want me to change, let me know.
Okay.
Or if you like different text or whatever.
That sounds good.
Okay.
And same thing with the, I'll send out an email with the link to the Google Docs, and anyone who wants to edit that, please do so by Friday. All right. I think that's it.
All right.
All right, have a good week, everyone.
All right, sounds good.
I'll
talk with you all later.
Bye.
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 Thank you. Please stand by.